In an age of pandemics, natural disasters, and political strife, do you wonder if God is still in control?
Amazon is testing new pay-by-palm technology at Whole Foods stores near its Seattle headquarters. The new tech, which Amazon is calling Amazon One, will allow shoppers to scan their palm and connect it to a credit card or Amazon account. It will be installed at several nearby stores in the coming months.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan spends the hour with author Jeff Kinley. A time of global upheaval, uncover God's prophetic plan and your place in it. We think you will enjoy the spirited discussion between Jeff and Jan this hour. Here is today's programming.
First came the credit card swipe and then the tap, and now just a wave of the hand can process a payment.
So the future just keeps coming. Let's check in with
Fast.
Jason Carr in the carport. Jason, what the mark of the beast is going on?
At a time when Elon Musk has monkeys playing Pong with their brains, scientists are growing half-monkey, half-human embryos, and UFOs are becoming a more real phenomenon, this seems on par or even a bit subdued by comparison or contrast. Amazon is rolling out palm scanners at one of its Whole Foods stores in Seattle. The technology called Amazon One allows shoppers to pay for their purchases by holding their hands above a scanner. Before you can use it, you have to give the company your credit card information and palm print. Amazon has been testing the system at its Amazon Go and Amazon Go grocery stores. The company plans to bring it to 8 Seattle area Whole Foods stores in the coming months.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio. We'll talk about things related to that little clip that you just heard, because I have in my hand a new book that we are actually carrying, and it's by author Jeff Kinley. Title: Aftershocks, Christians Entering a New Era of Global Crisis. Jeff says, undeniably, we are in the prophetic season of global change, and it is imperative for us as Christians to comprehend the perilous times in which we live, to know that we believe and live courageously going forward. The biggest challenge of the last year, and perhaps the biggest surprise, of course, was the onset of COVID-19. Let me just read one paragraph from Jeff Kinley's book. Enter the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic, an outbreak that blindsided planet Earth, catching us flat-footed and unprepared. What began in a laboratory in Wuhan, China, quickly spread across the entire globe in just a matter of weeks. Jeff says, as it gained momentum, a follow-up pandemic of panic spread as well, sending entire countries into lockdown mode, economies ground to a screeching halt, citizens were forced to retreat into their homes, businesses were forcibly shut down, corporations furloughed employees, manufacturers shut off machines, shutting down production, schools, colleges, etc. Classes for the rest of the year closed, sending them scrambling to adopt remote learning methods. Let's not forget churches. Churches closed their doors, transitioning to online services. Some pastors even printed pictures of their congregation, taping them to chairs and pews while preaching to an empty building. And he concludes this paragraph. Streets were empty and silent. Shops were closed. Times Square echoed with emptiness, and Main Street America resembled a giant ghost town. So Jeff then asked, what kind of aftershocks can we expect both in the short and long term should Jesus delay his return for the church? We'll talk about that and those projected aftershocks here on today's programming. Jeff Kinley, welcome back to the program.
Jan, great to be with you again.
I think the biggest thing that caught us off guard 2020, now 2021, was the sudden changes in the world's lifestyles, and particularly here in the Western world, and more specifically, here in America, land of the free, home of the brave, which suddenly wasn't so free anymore. Lockdowns, as we said, closed businesses, closed churches. And you suggest aftershock number one is globalism at the gates. This is obviously thanks to coronavirus. Right now, global unity sounds just great to the unbelieving world, and it will bring healing, and we can go back to the old way of life. That is, if we follow this globalism that's at the gates.
That's exactly what happened. In fact, on the very heels of the COVID crisis, Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, Prince Charles, former Secretary General Ban Ki-moon from the United Nations, they all came out and said, we must work together towards a common safety, a common good, a common prosperity. And of course, the only way we can do that is to come together internationally. And if that's going to happen, then nationalism then becomes the enemy. We must be now world citizens and come together for a common good. So there's been a renewed call for this global convergence of a one-world government. And, of course, that's exactly what the Bible says is going to eventually happen in the last days.
Absolutely. Revelation 13 could not be more clear that someday people will be citizens of the world. Jeff, who doesn't want peace, justice, and unity? And that's what they're promising if we would just go into a one-world system.
When you look at it from the surface, it sounds very noble. It sounds very loving. You know, love your neighbors has been one of these catchphrases for people to wear masks and care for others. But on a global scale, and this is what the Bible predicts, the question is, how is this going to happen? And are there some precursors or previews to this future global government? I believe that there is, because what we're seeing right now, even with the World Economic Forum, and they're coming together. Klaus Schwab is calling for this one world government, for what he calls a global reset. To do that, we've got to sweep the table clean and start over. And, of course, that means the death of capitalism, the death of life as we know it today.
And standing in the way, of course, is America. She must be dismantled. And Christians must be dismantled, for that matter, Christianity, because we love our country. Suddenly, that's no longer permitted, to love our country, at least in the new America that's headed up by the radical left. And there's another thing, Jeff, that I'm seeing, and I'm still kind of in this category of globalism at the gates, and I've talked about this on air actually for the last year or so because it's so obvious. That would be this longing for peace and safety, peace and security, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and you write about that too.
There has to be a trade-off, a great exchange that happens between government and its citizens. And of course, what we've seen in our own country, Jan, has been the trade-off of, you'll just wear the mask, you'll be safe.
Yeah.
We'll give you some stimulus money to keep you happy. In the meantime, just stay at home. Now take this vaccine and you'll be able to come outside again. On a global scale, there's also an exchange that's going on as well. And of course, Donald Trump, who sort of stood in the way of a lot of this progress, of course, now he's been taken out of the way. With our new president, there's a new person who can cooperate more fully with this new regime. In a global government, nations are going to have to become states within a grand alliance of international government. And that's what the Bible predicts. Scripture also tells us, Jan, that when this happens, that there's going to have to be something to cause it to happen. There needs to be a crisis. And of course, COVID was the crisis to get our attention here. I believe there's going to be another great worldwide crisis, and you do too, that's going to really precipitate this new regime.
I want to play a real quick soundbite. It happens to be Pastor Jack Hibbs. And again, I'm still back on 1 Thessalonians 5:3, this longing for peace, for safety, for security. Globalism at the gates is what they're offering us. Jack speaks into this, and then let's come back and discuss it.
The Bible tells us about a time that's coming where all love for one another is going to be removed from this world, and there's going to be lawlessness, there's going to be wars, there's going to be mayhem, and there's going to be violence on the earth. And the Bible warns us over and over again, a cry for peace and safety. Listen to this. You sitting down? You ought to write this. This is amazing. This doctrine is introduced to us in Daniel chapter 8, the ancient book of Daniel. Verse 25, it says, regarding the son of perdition, the Antichrist, it says, and through his policy, listen, the word policy is by his answers. Policy is answers in the Hebrew. By his answers. So church, you know why this is important? It's because people have a lot of questions. The world is going to be asking questions. He's going to have the answers. He shall cause craft to prosper. Stop right there. The word craft is the word seductive or seducing deceptions. Plural. Seducing deceptions. I want you to just think about that for a moment. That's no stranger to us, seducing deceptions. Whenever you get pulled away or taken off course from your Christian life, or maybe you're not a Christian, regardless, listen, the Bible says God loves you. That means Satan hates you. And he's out to destroy you because God loves you. And Daniel says there's one coming onto the world scene. He's going to have all the answers and you'll be able to identify his practices. He's going to seduce the world because he's going to cause craft to prosper. He's going to cause people to get what they want. But he goes on. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, that's a seductive calm, he will destroy many. Peace and safety. Peace, isn't that interesting? All we want is peace. All we want is safety. From the government, give us peace and safety and get out of our way. This guy's going to come along and he's going to give the world, in a time when they don't have peace and they don't have safety, he's going to bring it, and it's all deceptive.
Jeff Kinley, you want to weigh into that?
Absolutely. What happens is the Antichrist will promise peace and safety for exchange of us surrendering our God-given rights and liberties. And this is what Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians about the Antichrist will come with a great deception of wickedness for all those who perish. Then it says that God himself will send a deluding influence, Jan. It's not just the Antichrist.
That's right.
Part of the penalty of rejecting Christ is making yourself susceptible to Satan's lies. Satan is going to be speaking directly through this Antichrist and deluding the world with more cunning and deceit than any politician or any world leader has ever had to try
That's
to convince this world that his way is right.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from the Deep South Jeff Kinley, because we're carrying his latest book, Aftershocks, Christians Entering a New Era of Global Crisis. I'm going to be reading a paragraph or two from the book every now and then. I've actually read this from cover to cover because it doesn't take you more than maybe a day and a half to read it. It's in my online store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. It's in my print and e-newsletter. Call my office and order it as well. And I'm moving on to another shockwave, Jeff, and I doubt that we can get to all of the shockwaves, but I want to hit a few of the highlights. Another shockwave is delusional doublespeak or reimagined reality. I love that term, reimagined reality. As you say, some of what Orwell wrote way back in 1949 has found its way into our own culture. I'm just going here to your book again because you've got some bullet points. You highlight here in this section on reimagined reality. Number one, murder of the unborn isn't really murder. It's popularly known as healthcare, reproductive freedom, women's right to our own body, etc. Another bullet point, the fetus really isn't a child. It's rather a clump of cells and unwanted cyst growth. Another bullet point, homosexuality is no longer viewed as unnatural, as being opposed to God's design. Number four, marriage between members of the same sex has been declared to be a basic human right. Number five, gender is now considered fluid and malleable and has been detached from its own original biological definition. Jeff, sadly, I could go on for 20 minutes with more bullet points. How did we get here?
What we're seeing, Jan, is a radical transformation of reality itself. Satan is redefining everything.
Yes.
Because he understands that God's word gives us the truth about everything from basic morality to gender to sexuality to all these things. So what he's trying to do is a classic psychological manipulation. He's wearing down humanity over time. And in the end, there becomes this aggregate delusion. I think we're in it right now, in fact. People right now are swallowing these lies that are coming down.
Yes.
To the point where our court systems are even backing up these things that are going against basic biology and science that we believe really since the dawn of time. But that's what Satan does. He casts doubt on God's word all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. He is the great deceiver. Jesus said he's the father of lies, and he enters in and gives us what we want just enough, but then he comes in and says, but have you ever thought about this? And that's when he introduces his lies. So we're at the point now where he's not just deceiving, Jan. He's coming out and just blatantly saying it, and people are believing it.
Here's an interesting clip. It happens to be PragerU. Folks, how many genders do you think there are? This is still in the category here. We haven't left reimagining reality yet, and that's what's going on. Jeff's got a whole chapter on that in here, certainly a section or two on it.
What's up, guys? This is Will Witt with PragerU. Today we're at UC Berkeley, and we are asking students, how many genders are there? Let's do it. How many genders are there?
Infinite.
Infinite?
I think there are infinite genders.
Why do you say that?
Because I think you can't put things in boundaries. You can define yourself as whatever you want, and I don't have a number for it, so it's infinite for me. Yeah.
What do you identify as?
I identify as female.
I identify as male. How many genders are there?
I don't know. Like, I identify as a guy, but if someone's going to be happier not following that binary thing, do you?
How many genders are there?
There's a spectrum of genders. You can't really say.
Like an unlimited amount, you would say?
Yeah. There are like 5, 6, maybe.
Six? What are those six?
It's like male, female, transgender, asexual, then... Yeah, I'm not like familiar with the names, but I'm like pretty sure I have seen like videos and everything on like different genders like here.
So for me, gender is like a construct because gender isn't something that's made up. So sex is something that's biologically given to us. So how do I know, to be honest?
What do you identify with?
Male.
Male? Me too. How many genders are there?
Oh, girl.
It's like 72 plus or something.
I could not tell you.
You couldn't tell me?
I could not tell you. There's...
How many can you name?
Not all 72.
Spitfire a few.
There's, what is it, third gender, cisgender, agender, cis woman, cis man, non-binary / other? I don't know.
Jeff Kinley, this is actually a global deception going on.
Yes, it really is. And if you'll notice in some of those responses, Jan, you have the words, I think, I feel, I believe, things like that. What people are doing is they're buying into that satanic lie where I determine reality.
Yes.
Because there's not an objective morality. There's not some unchanging truth standard. Like they said, it's a construct. Well, sure, it's a construct in your own mind. Back to Genesis chapter 3, where Satan said to Adam and Eve, you can be God. You can determine your own destiny. You can speak reality into existence. We've bought into that lie, and the Bible says that's part of the signs of the last day.
Yeah. Where is this heading? I'm still with reimagined reality. Where do you think it's heading?
I think it's heading two areas. Number one, it's heading to the point where people can literally think themselves into any reality, and we have to believe it, especially in terms of morality. But I think also it's going to come to the point where government is going to reimagine reality as
okay.
well. The bigger government becomes, the bigger role it has in our lives, they begin declaring truths based upon things that, quote-unquote, the children can't know, so the government becomes the parent. So we'll take care of your medical needs. We'll take care of your financial needs. Just trust the system. Be a stakeholder in our economy, not a shareholder. Don't go after greed. We'll give you the money that you need. Ultimately, the government becomes thought dictators, if you will, telling us these lies. And of course, if you don't have anything to measure those statements against, you'll have to end up going along with them, because if you don't, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't trade.
Government becomes God. I understand that's the goal of the godless left, that government become God. I'm quoting you here, Jeff. You say, I'm kind of transitioning here just a little bit, but you say, if they can mandate home confinement and a mask, how long before an identifying patch or mark is implemented? Then we come to the issue of even forced vaccines. When is that going to become something that's going to be implemented forcefully on people? Let me go back to, if they can mandate home confinement and a mask, how long before an identifying patch or mark is implemented? And you're basing that on, again, Revelation 13 and other passages that are talking about a forthcoming mark of the beast.
Yeah, absolutely. In Scripture, what we know is the Bible does tell us there's going to be a specific mark coming at the midpoint of the tribulation. Of course, we're not in the tribulation now, but at the specific midpoint, the Antichrist and the second beast are going to enact 666, without which you will not be able to function in society. What we're seeing now is the spirit of that working now through government and through power, even to the point where this vaccine passport may end up being a precursor to your freedom and liberty in society. And everybody from Israel to Bahrain to South Korea have already experimented with this. Many airlines are already experimenting with this. Some businesses, some colleges are also doing the same thing. How long before the local grocery store says you can't buy your food unless you show us that you've been injected with an experimental vaccine from a pharmaceutical company that cannot be sued? But all that to say is they're all feeding into a prophetic narrative. The Bible says that one day will come to pass, but right now we're just getting the foreshocks of some of those ripple effects in the future.
By the way, folks, next weekend we're going to talk in detail about these supposed vaccination passports and related issues. Let me say right up front, this is to my YouTube audience. We're not going to be posting next week's program on our YouTube channel, okay? You can find us a lot of other places in our video version. You can find it at our website, olivetreeviews.org. We're on Rumble. And we're going to be fading off of some of the traditional social media here in the near future. Right now, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Maybe not for long, however, at least not Facebook. We are on Gab, by the way. We're very fond of that platform. I try to clarify that every week because social media is just sort of a way of life for people now. It's not kind to some of us who have certain value systems. If you'd like to learn more about my guest today, find more information about Jeff at jeffkinley.com, jeffkinley.com, because we carry his newest book, Aftershocks, Christians Entering a New Era of Global Crisis. And I want to move on, Jeff, to another category of aftershock, and that would be the area of technology. And again, I open with a little clip. This Amazon hand scanner takes 30 milliseconds to scan your hand, and you have a purchase through Amazon. You point out in your chapter very poignantly, we're headed faster than a freight train to a cashless society.
Yeah, we really are. Jesus, when he spoke about birth pangs that will happen during the tribulation, we all know that birth pangs happen in two ways. They happen with intensity and with greater frequency. How many of us could have even envisioned that in a matter of weeks and months, the world could change as fast as it had?
Yes.
And we're on,
yes,
to a certain degree, Jan, an irreversible path. It's hard to go back after some of these things have been enacted. But to your point, the technology is also rapidly advancing. And the Amazon One scan, that thing is so scary because what it does is not just read your palm print, it reads underneath your skin, your anatomical structures internally, your bones, your soft tissue. This technology is getting more and more personal. It's not just your name on a check, card number on a credit card. Now it's your makeup of your person. Why would they choose the hand? Not saying this is the mark of the beast, because it's not. But at the same time, we're certainly headed in that direction, and technology is facilitating that change.
You have another aftershock being the end-time economic collapse. Jeff, as we speak, the stock market is staggeringly high. I didn't think I'd live to see it quite this high. What makes you think this could all come crashing down? Because this is one of your aftershocks, again, the coming economic collapse.
It all comes as a result of crisis. When you look at Revelation chapter 6 and you see the actual end times economic collapse, it comes after a result of wars and great turmoil. And COVID-19 is what has been described as a black swan event, meaning that it's something that's unprecedented, unexpected. Nobody could really see it coming. But you look at all the things right now, those who manage the doomsday clock, the Bureau of Atomic Scientists, they look at nuclear war, conventional wars, famine, ecological disasters, catastrophic climate change, other cosmic extinction events that we're not really prepared for. All of those things affect economies. Now, that'd be one thing just to say, well, yeah, something's going to happen and it's going to affect the stock market. But right now, consider this, the world is $250 trillion
yeah,
in debt.
That's right.
That was before COVID. The United States currently, I checked it today, it's $28 trillion in debt. How can we continue to survive? If we take another hit, we just can't print money fast enough to get through this. This economic collapse, it trickles down to every other area of life. That gives Satan the opportunity to come in with his end times agenda and some of these deceptive solutions to bring that peace and safety you spoke of earlier.
You know who's going to take advantage of all of this? They already have. And by the way, they're meeting, I believe, any day now, and that's the World Economic Forum. They met in January virtually, and now in May they're meeting in Davos, and they're going to be pushing for that cashless society that we talked about a moment ago. Another angle is, Jeff, employers can't even find employees. The employees like the unemployment checks too much. There's a perfect storm that's brewing, but I am concerned, and you talk about the World Economic Forum, and we have to. It's on the horizon, and I think it's going to play a major role in the tribulation. In fact, the reset may be the tribulation. The reset for the Christian is the rapture, but not for the unbeliever.
Absolutely, and you're right about the World Economic Forum. These are not just a couple of eggheads that come together to talk about. These are world leaders, presidents of international banks, presidents of European Commission, premiers and presidents and kings of countries are coming to this thing, and they are committed because they do see that without global cooperation, individually, they may go under. Countries are really being roped into one another so that when one country falls economically, the other falls as well. That's why they have to, from a pragmatic standpoint, get onto this economic train. This whole COVID thing, they're taking advantage of the crisis. Never let a crisis go
away. Right.
So they're taking advantage of this crisis to try to leverage it for their global agenda. And these people are very smart and they're very connected. In fact, Joe Biden himself ran on one of the World Economic Forum's platforms, which was Build Back Better.
That's right.
It comes directly from the narrative of the global reset. So he's in bed with the World Economic Forum and with all their agenda.
It says on the back of the book here that I have in my hand, Aftershocks, Christians Entering a New Era of Global Crisis, Living in This Era of Pandemics, Economic Chaos, Natural Disasters, and Political Strife, you may feel tempted to question whether God is in control. Yet when you look to the Bible, you'll find these events actually signal that his promises will soon be fulfilled. And again, the book Aftershocks, best-selling author Jeff Kinley, reveals how current societal and global trends foreshadow the nearness of the end times and how the prophecies about what is to come, listen to this, should renew your passion to lovingly proclaim Christ to a suffering world. And it goes on to explain some of the contents of the book, which you can find in my online store at olivetreeviews.org. Call my office or get on our print and e-newsletter lists, and we'll be featuring the book in those platforms if you'd like to get a hold of Jeff and learn more about his various podcasts that he does. It's jeffkinley.com, jeffkinley.com. Jeff, you've teamed up with Todd Hampson. You're the Prophecy Pros, and you have a podcast as well. Talk to me for a minute about that.
Yeah, our motto is two experts, one topic, no confusion. And what we seek to do, Jan, is to bring the hopeful message of Bible prophecy to a new generation. So we're reaching out to younger people, to millennials, helping them understand how relevant Scripture is for the times in which they're living.
Folks, here's where we're going in part two of my programming. What is the forthcoming super crises? Because we're talking about aftershocks and we're talking about things that are going to be hitting the fan here in the coming days, weeks, months, and years. The coming super crisis is known as the rapture of the church. What happens when that takes place? We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about some other signs that we should be watching for, because that's what the book Aftershocks is all about. So don't go away. I'm coming back in just a minute or two, and we'll continue with Jeff Kinley. More in a minute.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. We're living in an era defined by global pandemics, natural disasters, political strife, and ever-shifting morality. One who examines this so effectively is author Jeff Kinley. In his newest book, Aftershocks, Christians Entering a New Era of Global Crisis. You can find this in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Though at times we may feel tempted to question God's presence, Kinley believes these trends actually signal the nearness of Christ and the end of days. Learn to live in a chaotic world with complete confidence in God's plan. This book will actually inspire you to live with hope. You can respond to our times with grace. In a time of upheaval, uncover God's prophetic plan and your place in it. You can also call our office to place your order or get on our print or e-newsletter list, where we offer 24 products that will help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and become watchmen on the wall.
We're living in the fourth quarter. These are urgent times. For now, more than any other time, we should be talking about Bible prophecy, because Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if you want to drive people to Jesus, you got to tell them about what Jesus is going to save them from.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so just remember that our programming is posted to our website in both its audio and video format. Just go to olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, and then to radio. The video version of our programming is also posted to Rumble, and our audio programming is now heard on almost 900 radio stations across America. Thank you for your support of this outreach. Here's the conclusion of today's programming.
Corporate America is woke. Woke means being aware of alleged social injustice. So instead of just pitching their products, companies today are pitching political causes, liberal political causes. Shampoo makers used to run commercials about shampoo. Now they're showing lesbian parents helping a biological boy become a girl. Dove is celebrating women's different body types. Vaseline is fighting for equity in skincare. The gay agenda now has the support of the Oreo cookie. And Burger King is warning that bovine flatulence from the cows it depends on for sales is causing climate change. Steven Socup, the author of The Dictatorship of Woke Capital, says big business believes you need to be trained on how to think correctly about social issues.
This is a continuation of a trend in American history of an elite ruling class that believes that they're sort of the benevolent guardians who are taking care of the poor, stupid American people who don't understand what they really need and what they really want and what's really best for them.
But journalist Rod Dreher, author of Live Not by Lies, which warns that America is headed toward totalitarianism, believes the woke movement in corporate America is not going away and could lead to a new social credit system like China's, one that sounds a lot like the Mark of the Beast in the Book of Revelation that punishes people for holding the wrong political views.
And this is not paranoia. These are things that are being talked about right now in Silicon Valley as something that would be good for America.
Left-wing groups are already pressuring credit card and online payment companies to ban conservatives.
Corporations like Walmart, Apple, and others are richer and more powerful than some countries in this world. They're going to use the power that they have within the corporations and every other institution to persecute the church. People think I'm radical for saying this sort of thing, but I'm telling you, it's coming.
Socup says it's time for conservatives to engage and tell corporations to get out of politics.
Welcome back. Well, I think what I took away from that little clip from CBN is that persecution is coming, folks, and I don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but I just have a sense that it is. And as a matter of fact, in the book that we're talking about, Aftershocks, Christians Entering a New Era of Global Crises, by Jeff Kinley, who's on the line with me from the Deep South, Jeff, you suggest that some of the following are coming together and not by accident. And I want to talk about some of these things that are falling into place. You say if there's anything we should keep our eyes on, it would be some of these things. The fact that Jews are returning to Israel as prophesied. A push for globalism, one world government. We covered that in part one. An emphasis on Middle East peace. An emphasis on rebuilding the temple in Israel. The growing apostasy. A growing effort at implementing the mark of the beast. And again, we've already touched on that. Increasing persecution. You have this as one of your bullet points. Let's go back here for a moment. And last weekend, by the way, I talked to Dave Reagan for almost the hour about the Jews returning to Israel. But let's stop for a minute about emphasis on the Middle East peace. I'm concerned, Jeff, that our new president, Mr. Biden, may be the most hostile president to Israel ever in the history of Israel's 73 years.
His whole administration really takes that stance, and we are pivoting right now as Americans with our official policy towards Israel. Through Donald Trump, we had a very allied relationship with Israel, and now all of a sudden, Christians feel like we're betraying Israel. And I think that's exactly what's happening. Obviously, Israel doesn't need America, but at the same time, from a human standpoint, we're sort of like their big brother in the world. We're the one that would be there in case something happened to them. But the weaker America becomes and the more America withdraws, it allows Israel's enemies to come in and to take advantage of her on multiple levels. That whole volatility, I think, that we're experiencing right now, Jen, really is a part of the end time signs. Going back just for a second to Israel becoming a nation again.
Yes.
Israel becoming a nation is like driving down the road and seeing a giant sign over the highway that just says, exit now, bridge is out. I mean, you can't miss that sign. And yet so many people and Christians and pastors are missing the sign of Israel. I don't know how that can happen. It's like in the car, God's flashing the dashboard lights on and off saying, check engine, but we're not paying attention. When we begin to weaken our relationship with Israel, the Bible says we're going to weaken our relationship with God, and we cannot be blessed as a nation unless we are blessing Israel. The whole volatile powder keg of the Middle East is one thing. Israel becoming a nation is another. And as we go on and you talk about growing apostasy, right now we're seeing the church in America being weakened at an alarming rate. Barna says that a third less people have gone to church since this COVID thing has broken out. Daily Bible reading was down to 14% pre-COVID. Barna says it's 9% now. Christians are more and more illiterate. And of course, the more illiterate you are, the more you're susceptible to false teaching, to fear, and to being misled in life.
I am very concerned about the growing apostasy. Obviously, COVID did quite a number on the church. I'm not sure if the church is fully going to bounce back from the damage that's been done to it by COVID. What's your thought on that?
It's like someone who has a serious illness that affects their lungs. They may survive the event, but they can't breathe as well as they used to. Right now, what God is calling on is those pastors who are preaching the word to help purify the bride, to prepare her for the coming of the groom, Jesus Christ. But I don't know that some of these churches won't just continue to die. Some churches are closed indefinitely. Others are going online, and they're having a whole lot less viewers than they had anticipated. Scripture says, in the last days, men will fall away from the faith. And this is not even to get into the whole doctrinal apostasy that's going on and the moral apostasy in the church. This is just people gathering together to be the church, and we're finding that is weakening. For the first time in our history, we're at the lowest point ever as a nation in church attendance, one-third less than 1994.
Increasing persecution, and I've done programs on this, and I'm not right now talking about persecution in the deepest, darkest Africa and what's going on, for instance, in Nigeria, which people need to know about because we've got genocide going on in parts of Africa. And we've got ISIS regrouping in parts of Africa, but let's talk about persecution. You have it in your lineup of things that we should be keeping our eyes on here, sort of a countdown as one of the aftershocks that's coming. How bad do you think it's going to get? I mean, we have leftists in power now who hate us. They literally hate us. They hate programming like we're doing. They hate podcasts like you're doing. They hate books like you're writing. Where do you think this could be leading?
Two things are going on. Number one, we see the whole rise of cancel culture right now. They're trying to choke out the Christian message. They'll do it any way they can if they can get you kicked off of YouTube or if they can report you for something they think you may have done in the past. Another thing that's going on, Jan, is digital book burning, where some books are even being banned from Amazon, banned from being sold in the marketplace. And of course, that's the antithesis of the mark of a free society in terms of encroaching on our liberties and our free speech. Also, there are different degrees of persecution. We typically think of persecution of someone burning down a house or martyring someone, and certainly that happens all across the world. Christians are actively being persecuted. But here in America, we're starting to see the winds of that persecution begin to blow with this cancel culture, with being marginalized in society. And then when we do speak up, we're soundly silenced. We're told to shut up, to keep your views to yourself. And if we don't, then there's going to be active persecution against you. We're experiencing it not nearly in the way that our brothers and sisters are across the world, but Christians better be strong for this. The way Christians right now are so hooked into social media as their self-image type thing, that when social media comes against them, it's going to destroy their lives. That's why Christians need to be grounded in the Word of God, get their self-esteem, their self-worth from the Bible and from Jesus himself, and not from how many likes they get on social media. We've got to change that in America.
Jeff Kinley is my guest for the hour, jeffkinley.com, but I'm carrying in my online store his newest book, Aftershocks, Christians Entering a New Era of Global Crises, and you can call my office or get on our newsletter lists. Jeff, I'm going to play a clip of you. It's you on Fox News, national Fox News, and the reason I'm excited about it, and this is not a new clip, it's a few years old, it's irrelevant because what you're talking about is the godless culture, violence, the falling away from true faith. You're talking about that. It's actually referring to the days of Noah. It's when the Noah movie had come out a few years ago. But I love the way you summed up this clip and how you've gotten the gospel out. When I'm finished with this clip, I want to wrap up our programming talking about the coming super crisis that's going to be the rapture of the church.
Jeff Kinley, the author of As It Was in the Days of Noah, says we may be living in the modern times of Noah right now, and he joins us live to explain just that. Good morning. The film is doing exceptionally well. According to your writings, the biblical accuracy we know may be off, but what do you mean exactly that we're in modern Noah time here? Should we be getting on board a boat?
When Jesus' disciples came to him, they asked him, Lord, what will be the sign of your second coming and of the end of the age?
And Christ responded by basically overviewing several of the events that we find in the book of Revelation. But then he pauses and he says, guys, it's going to be just as it was in the days of Noah. And of course, that Jewish audience understood what he was talking about. But what we have to do is we have to rewind back to the book of Genesis to find out what were the emerging characteristics of Noah's generation and what characteristics do we see in our generation that mirror that generation.
Sure. And Jeff, you say that some of the characteristics from Noah's time as today, first of all, a godless culture, senseless violence, falling away from a true faith as well. Let's start with a godless culture. Some would differ with you, but there are, at the same time, a lot of examples of that out there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, in the days of Noah, the Bible says in Genesis 6 that wickedness was so prevalent on mankind that the only thing he thought about was evil. I find it in my own culture is that we've basically pushed God to the margins. We've shoved him out to the edges of our society. And in fact, we've written him out of his own story as creator. God's not even allowed to be the creator anymore. So there's rampant godlessness I see, not just in our country, but in the world as well.
And senseless violence, obviously, you know, we read a lot of that each and every day. But Jeff, just to be clear, is this a hopeless message you're giving? Is there still time to make it better?
Absolutely. I think there's nothing but hope on the horizon. Noah spent 120 years building the ark, and that door was open for 120 years. And I personally believe that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is that door, and he's the ark. And so there's safety and hope in him. And so I think there's a bright future for anyone who puts their faith in Christ.
Jeff Kinley, the rapture can be compared to the ark. The rapture is going to redeem a remnant, just as the ark redeemed a remnant.
That's right. And Noah was a righteous man, the Bible says. He was a remnant because godliness had really declined during his day. He was greatly outnumbered, and yet he remained faithful. And God rewarded his faithfulness because he belonged to him, and he rescued him from that apocalyptic wrath of his day.
We're going to be rescued. That is, the church is going to be rescued, I believe, any day. The rapture, of course, is known as imminent. It could happen at any minute. You have a fascinating, intriguing angle to your book because you've got a whole section in there, The Coming Super Crisis, and that's the rapture of the church. Why don't you give us a paragraph? First of all, why is the rapture a crisis? It is not a crisis to believers, and we need to clarify that. The church does not go through that terrible time of trauma and trial. The unbelieving world does. So why is it a crisis?
If COVID was a kick in the gut, then this rapture event is going to be a major train wreck. This thing that's going to happen to humanity, really, I believe that the rapture is another judgment. It's actually one of the beginning judgments that launches eventually the tribulation period, the first, of course, being the signing of peace treaty by the Antichrist. But, Jan, it's going to be a crisis because of all the aftershocks it's going to cause planet Earth, moral aftershocks. Think about how if Christians are salt and light on the earth. Think about when there's not a grain of salt left on the earth. There's not a single glimmer of light left on the earth. All of a sudden, the Christians are raptured from this planet, and there's going to be spiritual aftershocks. No one is there to speak up for God, to speak up for what is good. On the heels of that, God says he sends a deluding influence. There'll be mental and emotional aftershocks as people either dive into alcohol and opioids or commit suicide, because the planet is going to be shook once again. And it's going to be a crisis like none other in all of planet Earth. And yet on the very heels of the rapture is going to come the actual tribulation judgment. Humanity's not going to have any rest from this thing. And with all the explanations that people postulate that non-Christians are going to say what happened here and was it aliens, you know, as I read the book of Revelation, I see them really getting it more right than wrong. In other words, you see, after the first set of seal judgments, they recognize the Lamb is the one who's sending the judgment, him who sits on the throne. For me, I really think it very well may be that non-Christians recognize this was the actual rapture. But instead of repenting towards God, they're going to hate God even more.
That's right.
In fact, as you trace it throughout the book of Revelation, mankind gets more and more adamantly in their blaspheming of God and their hatred of God, because as a result of the rapture leaving, the judgments came. So they blame God for the judgments. They blame the rapture for the judgments. All these things non-Christians are going to be thinking, and yet there's going to be no relief for any of them unless they turn, repent, and become believers.
We hear a lot about abandonment wrath. I want to back up for just a minute. I'm going back now to Romans 1, verses 21 through 28, and that is, of course, when God gives them over. And I think that perhaps four of the most terrifying words in the Bible are God gave them over. In other words, in Romans 1, he gives a nation over to a reprobate mind of depravity. And it's called Abandonment Wrath. And we hear about abandonment wrath today, and some feel America is under God's abandonment wrath at the time of the rapture, and then post-rapture, the whole world will be under abandonment wrath. Jeff, that's just almost unthinkable.
And yet it's almost undeniable as well. If you think about the fact of where we are, we have actually lived out Romans 1 as if we are players on a stage in a play. We've done everything that God says a civilization will do in order to earn that type of abandonment and wrath. And, you know, that word there, to give someone over, is a judicial term that God uses, Jan. It means I'm letting go, put off the parking brake. You're going to go downhill and accelerate as fast as you possibly could. And I think if someone wants to have any kind of fear today, they shouldn't fear COVID. They should fear being abandoned in a culture by God himself. And, of course, the only way, again, is to acknowledge who he is, as Romans 1 says, and to turn from our sins and to trust in Jesus Christ. But to say that God gave us over, to me, that's literally the last straw.
And you write here, I'm reading again from the book, two short paragraphs, folks. Imagine the personal and psychological effects the rapture will have on people as loved ones are snatched away. Even secularists admit the emotional turmoil associated with that level of human loss cannot possibly be estimated. An instant surge in mental stress, separation anxiety, loss of family members, economic chaos, and all kinds of uncertainty will lead to a host of inconsolable mental and emotional maladies. And then he concludes, there is no way to accurately predict the psychological fallout that will occur as a result of the sudden, unexplainable loss of loved ones, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, parents, best friends who have vanished in a flash. Many will become mentally unhinged. Others will suffer all sorts of breakdowns. That's insight on a post-rapture world and the chaos, the aftershock, because that's the title of the book, the aftershock that's going to happen as a result of that rapture. And Jeff, right now, the church is putting lid on evil. Once the church is gone, the salt and light are taken out, and then that deluding influence is sent. The majority will believe the lies of Satan, particularly during the tribulation. Now, let's clarify one thing, Jeff. The majority are going to be believing the lies of Satan during the tribulation. At the same time, there is the greatest revival ever known to man during the tribulation. This seems like it's a contradiction.
What it illustrates for us, Jan, is that God's mercy and God's grace and God's patience is much greater than we could ever imagine. The fact that God would even allow one person to be saved after giving us decades to repent is really amazing to me, and yet there is going to be. Now, those believers are going to pay dearly for their faith. If we think right now it's tough to be a Christian, try being a Christian right now in China or in North Korea. That's nothing compared to what it's going to be like to be a Christian during the tribulation. At the same time, those people will be genuinely saved. They will turn to Christ. God will lead them to him from a variety of means, maybe from the two witnesses or 144,000 or the angel flying in mid-heaven, perhaps some other book or tract or program like this that they stumble upon and listen to it and go, what was I thinking? God, I believe in you now.
Interesting, and you do talk about this in the book, because some countries, they have few Christians. The Islamic countries have very, very few Christians, so they may not suffer this aftershock from the rapture. A lot of Western nations perhaps will, particularly America. And I think an interesting thought is many churches right after the rapture will actually remain quite full. They'll have panicked people in them, but they are unsaved people. Maybe they're trusting in their good works. Maybe they're trusting in their church attendance. Maybe they're trusting in a baptism. But that's not sufficient. They need to have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ before they're going to be going in this rapture. So some of our churches could be quite full.
I think you're right. Some countries that are less than 1% Christians, I mean, it's going to be like a bump in the road to them. However, I think eventually they will feel the effects through the one world government chaos that will be created. A long-term tsunami has a tidal wave coming in after the earthquake. But to your point, people right now that are in churches who think they may be saved, and Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 7. He said, there'll be many on that day who'll call me Lord, Lord, I never knew you. And the key is to make sure that our Christianity is not wrapped up in our denomination, in our church, in our baptism, in our good works, but that each individual understands that he or she must put their personal faith in Jesus Christ, turn to him, and let him save you, and then seek out a really good church that can help nourish you and grow you in their faith. That's a real thing. There are going to be many churches and perhaps many denominations that are going to wonder what has happened, and finally they're going to realize, no, it's God who's brought the real Christians home. Now, what am I going to do about that decision?
So there's going to be some geopolitical aftershocks from the rapture. There's going to be the formation of a 10-nation confederacy in Europe. There's probably going to be the demise of at least America as a superpower. Lawlessness is going to be the new normal. You know, I'm in the Wild West here in Minneapolis. I know lawlessness in parts of my city. They no longer look like they did a few years ago. We've got some incredible geopolitical aftershocks that are going to happen after the rapture. What am I missing here by way of geopolitical?
I think there's going to be anarchy in the streets. Mm-hmm. It's going to be nothing compared to what we've seen previously. But there's going to also be power-hungry politicians that are going to jump into that void. They're going to be jockeying for position, fighting with one another. Countries are going to be vying for the top of the mountain. Now that there's been a huge void of leadership and countries have essentially been gutted, especially countries like ours, and I think this is going to be the primary opportunity for that one man that Satan's choosing to rise to the top, to take advantage of this situation. When that happens, Jan, that's when officially this thing's going to begin. He's going to sign that peace treaty, and the clock's going to start ticking.
Here's the $64 million question, Jeff Kinley, and he has been my guest for the hour. We're carrying his book, Aftershocks, in my online store, olivetreeviews.org. Here's the $64 million question. I know it's all speculation here, but what is God waiting for? And I'm talking about the rapture, because many that listen to this program and I hear from them, they would hope that it would be perhaps today. They hoped it would be perhaps today, 10 years ago and 20 and 30 years ago. Obviously, we're waiting for that last Gentile to get saved. The fullness of the Gentiles must happen. Romans 11:25. Why don't you give us a quick explanation? What is the fullness of the Gentiles? That last Gentile has to get saved. Obviously, God is purifying his bride, the church. But why do you think he didn't return for the church, say, in 1970 and spare us the last 50 years of turmoil?
Well, the tribulation period, God is primarily turning his attention towards Israel. This time, this church age, he's dealing with, of course, individual Jews and Gentiles, but he's dealing primarily towards Gentiles. And there's going to be a last Gentile to be saved, and God has foreordained who that person's going to be. We don't know who it is, but at some point, that person's going to place faith in Christ. And there will be no more people added to the bride of Christ. She has not an infinite number, but a limited number. So once that person comes to Christ, that portion of the times of the Gentiles is over with. Of course, the times of the Gentiles extends throughout the tribulation period with Satan, his man, being in charge. But I do believe that God is waiting in the sense he has great patience. That's what 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, Jan, is God is very patient. And that God would wait on me, that God would wait on you or anyone listening in this program, if you're not a Christian, God is waiting on you specifically, and he's speaking to your heart right now to repent, to turn to him so that you don't have to go through what he has planned for the tribulation. Of course, Christ is preparing his bride. This is something we've anticipated for 2,000 years.
Yes.
It's going to be on time. Every single person who's going to be a Christian will make it. Every Christian will be raptured at that time. So God's patient, and he's also waiting for these signs of the times to converge according to his sovereignty. And once all those things are in place, like this COVID thing happened almost in a day, the rapture can happen in a day and the whole world can change within a matter of a few hours.
Jeff Kinley, if just one pastor is listening today who, let me be just real honest here, is mocking and even scoffing at some of the things we've talked about for almost an hour now, what would your message be to him? I mean, we are in a countdown. This is a very serious hour that we're in now, and things aren't probably going to get better as we move into the months and years that however many are left. Maybe it's only hours left. Can you address that one skeptical pastor listening right now?
Yes, and I've spoken to many of them, and I would just say to my brother right now that all you have to do is to look around and see that everyone on the planet is wondering what is going on.
Thank you.
You have the answer. It's in your Bible. We're living in the fourth quarter. These are urgent times. For now, more than any other time, we should be talking about Bible prophecy, because Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if you want to drive people to Jesus, you got to tell them about what Jesus is going to save them from. Finally, I would say, as many pastors have tried to offer comfort during this time of COVID, I would say this, First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, after telling about the rapture and teaching specifically about that, Paul says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. There's nothing more comforting than knowing that our Lord's going to fulfill his solemn promise to us to come back and snatch us away before the wrath to come arrives on this planet. So give them that message of hope and comfort that is found in the prophecy message.
Jeff Kinley, I want to thank you for all you do. Again, that book is in my online store. It's called Aftershocks, Christians Entering a New Era of Global Crisis, olivetreeviews.org. olivetreeviews.org. How appropriate, I think, for me to go out of the program. I've used this many, many times, but very appropriate today when the time was right. The sea parted, the walls fell down, the sun stood still, the waves were calm, the stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, and the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early, God's never late. He is always right on time, and his plan for you is good. I hope you'll dwell on that very last few words, his plan for you is good. As a matter of fact, his plan for you is perfect. I want to thank you for listening, folks, and we will talk to you again next week.
We'll sing forever, bowing before you.
We welcome friendly feedback at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Jan Markell in Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We've talked about Christians entering a new era of global crisis this hour. Remember, God has this all under control. He cares about the smallest detail in your life, and everything is falling into place.